Well, the cards are on the table in Olympia. The House Democrats' budget is out this week, joining the governor's proposal and a third budget plan from the Republican-dominated state Senate. Now lawmakers have to figure out a way to put this all together, ideally before the legislative session ends at the end of the month. One of the big challenges is finding more funding for K-12 education. The state Supreme Court found in what's called the McCleary decision that the state is failing in its paramount constitutional responsibility to fund basic education. Joining us to talk about the latest machinations in Olympia, the Northwest News Network's Austin Jenkins. Thanks, Austin.
Good to be here, Ross.
Austin, I understand there are some distinct differences in these three budgets about how much money to spend on K-12 education.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, K-12 education, because of the McCleary decision, has been sort of front and center this session so far. And so let me just give you an example. This group, Stand for Children, has produced a side-by-side comparison. Let's just take one example, full-day kindergarten, which the state is slowly expanding out. The governor proposes $116 million to continue to do that push out. The Senate budget, $41 million. The House budget, $91.5 million. And the House Republicans early on put out a education budget. They actually win this race on this particular issue of full-day kindergarten, $229 million. So you get a sense of the range, you get a sense of the priorities, and we could keep doing this. I mean, this is an eight-page document with side-by-sides and all of the individual funding mechanisms and proposals for education.
So a lot of issues to resolve in how much money to spend and where, but it might be even more difficult to answer the question of how to find funding for basic education. What are the basic fault lines here between the proposals?
Well, they're pretty clear and they're pretty stark. The question is whether you, the legislature, can do this with or without additional revenues on top of the anticipated $2 billion in extra revenue that's expected to roll in just because the economy is improving over the next 2 years. The Senate says it can be done. The House and the governor say it can't be done without sacrificing social services to a degree that they think is unacceptable. And so you really have that question of, is it a no new revenue budget, a more revenue budget? What's the happy medium? Is there something in between the nothing and the $1 or $2 billion that the governor and the House have proposed?
Now, one area where more money would come in from both the House and Democratic Governor Jay Inslee are closing what the critics call tax loopholes. Others might call them tax preferences. What's on the table?
Well, there is a laundry list from both the governor and House Democrats. There's some overlap, and there's also some differences. But the kinds of things that they're talking about range from research and development tax breaks that companies like Microsoft get to something that you or I might pay. A sales tax break on bottled water would go away under both the governor's proposal and the House Democrats' proposal. The sales tax-free shopping for Oregon shoppers when they come across the border would go away under these proposals. Those are kind of gives you a flavor of the kinds of things that they're looking at. But, you know, historically, it's definitely been proven that it's easier to pass a tax exemption into law than it is to rescind one.
Now, in a few moments, we're going to talk to a representative of the small brewers in our state, and they have been exempt from a beer tax up until now. We're going to find out that they're very concerned about this coming into place. Do you have any insight into whether that's going to be part of the final deal when it's finally cut?
Well, the beer tax is definitely a part of what the House and the governor are talking about. House Democrats and the governor are talking about that is extending this expiring tax, expanding it to the smaller brewers. The House does it a little differently. They lower the rate of this tax surcharge and making it permanent. And so there will be a fight on their hands, and there's certainly going to be smaller brewers saying that this is a burden they can't pay or that their customers can't pay. I should just note, though, bigger picture, Ross, on this, the threshold for whether it's ending an exemption or extending a tax or passing a new one is different now because the Supreme Court threw out that two-thirds majority. And so to the extent that it is easier to do this, this may be the test case here in this session.
Yeah, that's a really great point. Is no longer do they have to get a two-thirds vote, a supermajority. A simple majority allows them to turn around these tax preferences or loopholes, and that's been a big barrier in the past. So it could be more likely.
But it doesn't mean interest can't go back out on the ballot and try to repeal them, should that be part of the final approach. And we've seen that before, too.
Okay, so cards are on the table. We've got all three budget proposals out there. The horse trading begins. In the past, we've talked about this. This kind of goes behind closed doors at this point?
It does go behind closed doors. The negotiations, sometimes what happens is there's a bit of a freeze. Not a lot happens, and you sort of, the question is who's going to be the, they've laid their cards on the table, but they're holding back some cards. There's negotiations to happen. There's chits to play. And so somebody's got to start talking first. Somebody's got to blink first. And for a while, you may just see a little bit of a freeze. Nothing's happening. And then the shuttle diplomacy, the behind-the-scenes stuff starts happening. Very interesting little anecdote, though. I talked to House Budget Chair Ross Hunter this week, and he said the night after he rolled out his budget, or the same evening after he rolled out his budget, he had dinner with Andy Hill, who is the Senate Budget Chair. Andy Hill's a Republican. Ross Hunter is a Democrat. They're both, though, from Seattle's east side. They're both former Microsoft folks, guys. And he said, if it's just the two of them writing a budget, they could get it done. The problem is they need to get their caucuses on board on a deal. But it is interesting to note that the two chairs of these budget committees are very similar in terms of where they come from, their backgrounds, and perhaps even at the end of the day, even though they're different parties, they may not be that far apart politically. But their caucuses are.
And personalities can matter when it comes to the leadership, can't they?
Absolutely. And the one thing that I will, there's a lot of spin in a place like this, but the one thing is, and maybe I'll be singing a different tune in a couple of weeks if they don't get done in time, but this the sort of idea that D.C. and Congress is really broken, you hear from lawmakers here on both sides constantly saying, we're not like D.C. And I think they may have a point there. They are still talking. There are bipartisan dinners at the end of the day. And there's a lot of lawmakers across the aisles who either have long relationships with each other or have some commonalities that might help break down some of these fault lines. But I'm not predicting an on-time finish or an easy budget deal here by any means.
Austin Jenkins is with us from the Northwest News Network. Two horrendous accidents involving suspected drunk drivers with previous drunk driving convictions have prompted revived discussion on tougher driving under the influence laws. What's your best bet here? Is it too late? Do you think there's a chance that these laws will move forward?
It sounds like there is a bipartisan momentum and that the governor really wants something. I mean, it's hard for the legislature and the governor to not act after the headlines and the just horrible stories of the last couple of weeks. And so my sense is that there's a commitment to doing something. Now, whether that is reducing from 5 down to 3 the number of DUIs that then triggers a felony conviction, that seems unlikely. I mean, that comes with a huge price tag that House Public Safety Chairman Roger Goodman says would essentially necessitate building a new prison. But will there be enhanced penalties for wrong-way drivers? Might there be some changes to how the ignition interlock program works so that there are fewer loopholes and gaps between when somebody is arrested and charged and gets one of those devices? Maybe more people to go out and check on those? Those kinds of things seem like they might very well be part of the final mix. You get the sense that there is a very sober-minded commitment to getting something done. I mean, the meeting that I saw this week, Republicans and Democrats came out singing the same tune about this and saying they got to do something.
Austin, we always talk about the serious news that's coming out of Olympia every week, but I always like to end with the zaniest thing that you saw happen in the state capitol this week.
Well, caucus meetings, when the individual caucuses go behind closed doors or private. You never know what really happens in there unless somebody tweets it out or comes out and talks about it. This week, we saw a video inside the Majority Coalition Caucus as they met with U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood about the Columbia River crossing, the new bridge over the Columbia River on I-5. There's a lot of hostility to that project, a lot of hostility to light rail. After that, so the video came out. That was, the Democrats immediately said that was unauthorized video of the secretary. I believe the governor was in there as well. And then there was a press release from Senator Don Benton from Southwest Washington, saying he schooled the transportation secretary and that the transportation secretary had his hat handed to him. We don't see that kind of thing. Video out of a private caucus meeting, much less the headline in this news release was, it's Benton 1, U.S. Transportation Secretary 0. Democrats issued a letter of apology on behalf of Republicans to Secretary LaHood. So this became quite a political kerfuffle.
The outspoken Mr. Benton, once again, hey, thanks a lot for your time, Austin. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Austin Jenkins from the Northwest News Network. You're listening to KUOW Seattle 94.9 Public Radio.